vacation.
A special Great Movie Ride edition. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode 92 of The World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of October 2nd, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next vacation at no extra cost to you, while making sure you get the best deal on your trip. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. It's been there since the studios opened way back on May 1st, 1989, and it's been taking guests on a ride through the movies ever since. At 22 minutes in length, it's one of the longer attractions in the park. It's a mix of movies and animatronic and live action, and today it's the topic of our podcast. Of course, we're talking about the Great Movie Ride. Today I'll be discussing the centerpiece attraction with a former Disney Imagineer who played a role in shaping the Great Movie Ride that we see today, Brian Collins. Brian, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Herb. As always, it's great to be here.
I always enjoy when I have a chance to speak with you on the show. It's always educational and a lot of fun, too, to hear your behind-the-scenes insights into all things Disney. So glad that you can be here.
Thanks. I love talking about that stuff. So hopefully your guests like hearing me talk about it, too.
I am sure that they do. So before we get into the Great Movie Ride, today's warm-up question is, what's your favorite spot in the Epcot Japan Pavilion?
Oh, other than the sake bar, you mean?
That goes without saying, I guess. Oh, yeah.
So if I had to pick a favorite spot in the Japan Pavilion, I would say it's probably by the little Yakitori house. When you go in to the pavilion off to the left and kind of up on a little hill, there's a little restaurant there, and it's right outside of it. It's got just really nice gardens, a very nice Japanese garden and a koi pond. And that, to me, I think is one of my favorite places in all of Epcot, let alone the Japanese pavilion. Very calm, peaceful, tranquil, nice place to kind of chill out, you know, amongst the hustle and bustle of a day at Epcot.
You know, I would pick the same spot up there by the Katsura Grill. If you keep going up and up and to the left and to the left, you get to the little seating area with the hanging paper lanterns, although they're probably not really paper.
Yeah.
And nice landscaping, and it's so peaceful and tranquil and relatively quiet up there. I think it's just an awesome place to spend a little time.
Yeah, and at nighttime, too. I mean, when they have those lanterns on and they're kind of glowing in the evening, just really kind of a little magical, quiet spot.
Yep, I agree. Good. Well, we had the same one there. We didn't even plan that in advance.
Wow. How about that? Great minds, huh?
Exactly.
Great.
Okay, back
speaking
over.
Speaking about great?
Yeah, speaking about great, let's talk about the Great Movie Ride. That's an excellent transition.
crazy writers.
So I know that you actually had a hand in the Great Movie Ride that we see today. Can you tell me a little bit about your personal connection to that attraction?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So I'm not going to take credit for it, like being one of the designers of the Great Movie Ride or anything like that. I mean, there were certainly a lot of very talented Imagineers before my time who really kind of created that attraction. But by the time I got into Imagineering, it was shortly after, a few years after the studio opened. And my boss asked me to kind of go in there and just kind of freshen up the script a little bit and freshen up some of the scenes in the acting, the blocking in some of the scenes. So that's really what I did. In Imagineering, we call that kind of plussing. You all hear that term where you kind of take an existing attraction and give it a little bit of a jump start or enhancement on a smaller scale. So that's what I did. I went in and I kind of plussed it a little bit, and it was a lot of fun.
So it sounds like your role was on the writing and the acting pieces. Do you remember any of the adjustments that you made way back when?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Most of my time was spent early mornings. I would go in there with another one of my colleagues, another guy from WDI, and the two of us would go in there and work mostly on the blocking and the staging in the either the gangster scene or the Western scene. So when your ride show cart is taken over by one of those characters, we kind of cleaned up a little bit and made it a little bit more fun and exciting and safer, you know, some of those types of things for the actors. Also freshened up the scripts a little bit in some areas, tweaked the dialogue a little bit. And that was really mostly my role. I also helped write some background stories for the gangster and the Western characters. And that was really kind of interesting because that's something that the guests don't really see, but something that certainly helps the cast members portraying those roles to help them understand who those characters are. So the gangster character, Muggsy, and the Western character, the bandits, they all have got a whole backstory to their lives that talks about where they came from and who they are and why they are the people they are now. It was really kind of a lot of fun. You know, Muggsy was hustling dice on the streets when he was a kid and, you know, running liquor for Al Capone and that kind of stuff. And the gangster character, the bandit character, you know, grew up as an only child and, you know, had certain hardships in life that kind of formed him or her, you know, to be the bandit that they are today.
Wow, very interesting. So when a new cast member or actor comes in to play one of those roles, they would study that backstory, even though it's not part of the script that they recite during the attraction itself.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it helps create a more consistent performance whenever you go through the attraction.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So I think it's also neat that you mentioned you got involved in the attraction a few years after it opened. So I would imagine that, like a lot of things at Walt Disney World, it changes over time. So since you saw an earlier version, and I know that we had an opportunity to check out the Great Movie Ride just recently, have certain things stuck out to you that have changed over the years?
You know, honestly, I will say that it's remained remarkably consistent through the years. The biggest change, obviously, recent change, has been when Turner Classic Movies came in and partnered with Disney and sponsored the attraction. And when that happened, much of the live dialogue that the tour guide was giving went away and was replaced with Robert Osborne narrating. And I don't know if that's necessarily such a bad thing. I mean, some people got really up in arms about it. And I think anytime you tweak or mess with an existing attraction, you're going to have people kind of, you know, be on both sides of it. But personally, I got to tell you, when I wrote it with you, that was the first time I had heard it with a recorded dialogue. And I thought it worked quite well. I love Robert Osborne. He's got a wonderful, pleasant voice and, you know, provides some nice insight. And there's certainly still enough live dialogue left in there that you don't feel like you're just hearing a recorded spiel the whole way through.
Yeah. I thought so too. I thought there was a good give and take, so to speak, between the live cast member and the recording. And it seemed to flow well. It probably gives the cast members a bit of a break. It provides for a more consistent experience. So I thought it was a nice change.
Yeah. I was fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So
as far as the show itself, you know, the scenes themselves are pretty much the same as they were when the attraction opened. You know, the biggest thing I remember that we would always have issues with was that very first opening Busby Berkeley scene from Starlight Parade. At one point, the girls on that tiered platform, it was actually spinning around and there was water coming up and fountains and everything. So it was a much more vibrant kind of a scene. But technically and mechanically and from an engineering point of view, there were a lot of problems with that. As you can imagine, when you mix water and, you know, engineering together, it can sometimes be very complicated. So try as they may, you know, we tried over and over again to kind of keep that thing going and keep the scene in its original intent, but just we're never able to really get it to consistently give us a good show. And eventually they evolved it into what you see today, which I thought, again, you know, is a pretty nice adaptation. Yeah. I mean, certainly the original intent is still there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think today maybe there are some lighting effects or projection effects that give the sense of the motion.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's stuff that you would never even think about or know about unless, you know, you can remember way back when it first opened, as it is today. I mean, it's, you know, the scene is as it is, and no one would ever think twice about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's still very effective, just like you said.
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of ideas go through Disney Imagineering, and not all of them make it into attractions. Are you familiar with any of the scenes that were considered for the Great Movie Ride but maybe didn't quite make it into the final cut?
Yeah, actually, there are a few. And I remember seeing one of the older scripts from 1986, one of the original scripts from before the attraction opened. And that script, amazingly enough, again, it was very, very close to what you see today in the attraction. But there were a few things in there that you do not see today. And one of the biggest scenes that was in that script, which you don't see today, was originally there was going to be a scene from Ghostbusters in there. And it was going to be the guys attacking the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know, with their ray guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And so that would have been a really fun scene. The Casablanca scene, interestingly enough, originally the way that was conceptualized, it was going to be Sam sitting at the piano in the bar and, you know, singing As Time Goes By.
Wow.
And that changed into the scene we have today with the airplane, with Rick and Elsa, you know, by the airplane. What else? The transition into The Wizard of Oz. This is a really interesting bit of trivia. The transition from Casablanca into The Wizard of Oz right now is Sorcerer Mickey, right, from Fantasia.
Yeah.
But that transition area was originally, that was going to be the Twister taking you into the Land of Oz. And if you look closely, you can kind of see the design elements, how that could very easily have been the Twister taking you into that scene. But from what I understand, they realized shortly before the Great Movie Ride opened that they didn't have Disney's most famous movie star, Mickey Mouse, anywhere in the Great Movie Ride. So they had to find a way to get him in there. And they took that transition area and turned it from the Twister from The Wizard of Oz into Fantasia. So,
wow. Very, very interesting.
That's a pretty neat little, yeah. So next time you go through that attraction, take a close look at the design elements and you can kind of see, you know, the tornado elements that were built into there. There was going to be like a whole wind effect as you kind of go through that dark passageway into Oz. Very, very cool.
Yeah, that is neat. And I can see just what you're saying. So it does have that sort of curved funnel design to it. So it seems like it could have very easily gone that way too. And I have to say that Ghostbusters just screams 1989 or whatever year that was. So that would have been interesting to see that in there too.
Right.
So are there any interesting stories you have about the time that you spent working on the attraction or other things that you know about with the attraction?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of stories. I will tell you, there are so many very cool like little passageways and stuff like that, which the cast members use to get from point A to point B inside the attraction. And that was, to me, one of the most fun things working in there, was getting to like learn all these little secret passageways in there. Hmm. And there's also a catwalk. If you look straight up towards the ceiling, you'll see there's actually a catwalk way up there that, you know, kind of follows the track ride. And kind of being up there to kind of look down on those scenes from that vantage point, I remember was very, very cool. You know, we like I said, you know, just spending a lot of time working with the cast members to improve the gangster and Western scenes was just a lot of fun. I mean, the people that work in the attractions, and I'll say that in most attractions, whether it's in the Great Movie Ride or the Jungle Cruise Skippers or wherever it may be, the Haunted Mansion, all the cast members that work in these iconic attractions have worked there for quite some time, and it becomes a very, very personal kind of a role for them. And I remember we were working with a young woman who was a tour guide from the Great Movie Ride, and just had so much fun, you know, trying, you know, different takes. It's almost like directing a play, if you will. Mm. You know, choreographing something when the bandit comes out of the bank, you know, they're not just randomly shooting their pistol whenever they want to and just, you know, moving wherever they want to across the set. I mean, all of that's very carefully choreographed. So we spent a lot of time and thought in figuring out where to place them and how to give guests the best sight lines and when would make the most dramatic time to fire the guns and that type of thing.
Wow. Very, very interesting. I've got to imagine that the roles in those iconic attractions are probably plum assignments, and a lot of folks would really like to have them, probably competitive to get into.
Yeah. So some of them certainly more than others, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
So as someone who's seen the Great Movie Ride change over the years, do you have hopes for the future or things that you might like to see if you were super Imagineer of the day?
You know, I think when I think about Imagineering today compared to when I was doing it, the tools and technology that are at your disposal now are pretty amazing. I mean, you know, when you think about like augmented reality, how you know, big that's becoming. I mean, just, you know, if anyone out there has ever heard this little game called Pokemon Go, you know, if that's not enough proof. So I think augmented reality is going to be becoming more ingrained in attraction design, I think, and not just augmented reality, but just artificial environments, if you will. I think we're going to be finding ways to take technology and cross-pollinate it in ways that we've never done before. I think wearable technologies, the magic bands, for example, finding ways to integrate those into the attractions and maybe make them more personalized. If you go on It's a Small World now, they actually will, you know, have your name displayed on the boards as you're leaving out of the attraction. With magic bands now, with GPS technology built into them and other technologies built into those, RF technologies, you know, things like that, it just gives you a lot more flexibility as a designer to be able to do some really cool, fun things in the attractions that we can never do back in the day. Hmm. So I would imagine if they ever get in there and really give the Great Movie Ride a big overhaul, you're going to see some technological advances and integrations on a bigger scale.
It's interesting to think about all the tools that are available now, just like you said. And it seems like we've seen some of those things, like the sum of all thrills, where you can design and then ride your own roller coaster, or even some of the things over at Disney Quest, which are a little bit long in the tooth, like Virtual Space Mountain, but still show the technology works and the promise of how some of those things can be applied in new attractions. It's really fascinating.
Right. Yeah. Test Track, you know, when they redid Test Track, being able to design your own vehicle. I mean, that's the thing with technology. Every time you think that you've come up with something cool and new and you integrate it, by the time it gets out there, it's probably old hat. But again, I think the secret is, and I think this is what Imagineering is so good at, is trying to find ways to use the technologies in ways they've never been used before. So even though it might be some, pick one of them, augmented reality effect or something like that. And even going way back to, again, to the classic attractions, when you think about how Disney did that with like the Pepper's Ghost effect in the Haunted Mansion, was using an effect that was 100 years old, but it was never used in that way before. And to this day, it still holds up as, one of the most iconic attractions in the world. People love seeing the ballroom scene, with all the dancing ghosts and the ghosts at the banquet table and everything. So, it's that same kind of thinking that I think the best Imagineers bring to the table of how do you take the tools at hand and apply them in new ways to make the attractions more exciting and get the guests more excited about wanting to be in your environment.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that example from the Haunted Mansion is a prime one, so something that's been around for 100 years, but gets applied on a scale like it was never done before, can still, in these days, impress folks who've never seen it before. It still impresses me, and I've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Good, Brian. Well, this was a fun conversation. I always enjoy speaking to you about all things Disney, and I always get some new insights out of our conversations. So if people are interested in what you're up to these days, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, the best thing is to check out my website, which is wdwithme.com, or follow me on Twitter, which my Twitter handle is at wdwithmebrian. And on my Twitter handle, I always, Twitter account, I always try and, put stuff out there that's always from that Imagineer's point of view, and not just about Disney, but just the themed entertainment industry in general. I still try and keep up with as much as I can, and not only do I enjoy, working within the industry, but I'm just, still a big kid at heart. So, it's really fun for me to kind of keep my eyes open and keep on top of the trends and see what's doing out there. And if I'm ever called upon to work on, create scripts or whatever like that, it's just a lot of fun to, again, have those tools at your disposal to be able to do that. So, follow me on Twitter at WDWithMeBrian. WDWithMe.com is my website. And on my website, it links out to all kinds of, other social media accounts that I have. And I've got some blogs, which I desperately need to update. And, some other material on there. I've got a Pinterest account with pictures, so people can find me. I'm easy to find.
In the world of social media. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I love hearing from folks out there too. So, feel free to, I'm very approachable. So feel free to email me if you ever have any questions or comments or anything like that.
I can definitely vouch for your approachability. And in a world of social media where there's more content than we can ever possibly take in, I've got to say that your Twitter account is one that I always enjoy seeing. You have a lot of great insights, a lot of links out to interesting articles. You've got great comments on the topics of the day. So your Twitter account is really an excellent one I would highly recommend.
Thank you. Thanks. I have fun with that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I also, I mean, if anyone ever wants to do a stroll through the parks or have dinner with a former Imagineer, that's something else that I offer too. So, you know, you can always reach out to me and you know, I'd be glad to give you information on how that can be arranged too. So,
yeah. I can say as someone who's had a chance to stroll through the parks with you, it is an amazing experience and one where you can learn a lot and have a lot of fun too. So if anyone is interested in seeing the world of Disney through an Imagineer's eyes, I couldn't think of anyone I'd recommend more than Brian for that. So Brian, I'm glad that you offer that service.
Yeah, well, thanks, Herb. Thank you.
You bet. And thanks for joining me today for a talk through the Great Movie Ride. As always, it was educational and fun.
Great. Well, it is always, like I said, it's always just a blast to be on your show, and I hope to do it again sometime.
Thanks, Brian.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Of course, today we head out to the music of The Great Movie Ride, and we have made it through our conversation, a special Great Movie Ride edition. But the conversation doesn't have to end here. I'd like to hear what you think. Do you have something you'd like to add to our discussion? You can do that by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/92, a page that works nicely on smartphones, tablets, and desktops. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people are saying as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's followed me on social media and invite you to follow me too. Facebook.com/worldofwalt and Pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you'd spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. And to wrap up for today, as always, I would like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you're allowing me to share the fun of Disney with you, and that is very cool. Thanks for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.